It's the Red Hot Real Estate Show, where we can all find out how's it going for buyers and sellers in the real estate market.
I have died and gone to real estate heaven.
Looking to move? Hoping to sell? Call in with your questions to real estate expert Mimi Shoneman with RE/MAX Results.
I'm going to go out and buy a house.
Here she is, your host, Mimi Shoneman.
Yes, she is here, your host of the Red Hot Real Estate Show, our friend Mimi Shoneman from RE/MAX Results and the Red Hot Real Estate Group. How's it going over there?
Good morning.
I'm ready to swing into spring. I'm sorry, summer. I'm behind now.
Yeah,
I'm like summer. I was all prepared to talk about summer because I know we got those new guides. Courtesy of my friend Mimi and also our good friend from California. Caliber Home Loans, Miss Shelley Ferris over there.
Good morning.
Normally, I'm jumping ahead. Like, you both are very floral looking today. I was definitely thinking spring. You're floral in attire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I'm
we're making you think about
spring. Yes, flowers.
Exactly.
I'm like, maybe you just because you're blooming over there. It's just popping into mine. Shelley, can we please get your NMLS number out of the way?
Yes. Mine is 367-826 and Caliber is 15622.
Well, I definitely know that it's summer here. I've been doing a lot of that outdoor gardening has been hot lately. Hot. Has it been very hot in the real estate market, though?
You know, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating how people settled down for a minute when things kind of started shifting. But I think that they're jumping back in because they realize the water is still fine.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is a temporary rapids.
So maybe. Is it one of those things that there were the waters were really choppy. And then things kind of like calm down for a second, and now they're picking back up.
What do you think? It's just like the stock market where people, you know, they're used to a certain thing, they're prepared for a certain thing, and when it's not that thing, then they pause. And I think that it's human nature.
Okay.
It really is. I think that when interest rates went up, it did price some folks out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
That's really unfortunate. We saw year over year, last year, June 21, prices were averaging around 350. Now, in June of 22, they're at 380.
Okay.
So even though prices are also going up and homes are still appreciating, which is wonderful news for our sellers who are thinking that they'd like to sell and maybe move someplace else, there's lots of reasons to sell. You've outgrown your space. You're walking on top of each other. The layout doesn't work for the way you live anymore. Or you've just decided, I want to be at the beach full time and I don't want this anymore.
Right.
You know, so now is the time of year when folks are also focusing on school districts and getting their kids settled and moved to a district that they want to live in. I can't tell you how many people are talking about, okay, my children are in this district. I really prefer them to be to that district. And of course, we know that's a tight timeline.
Yes.
From the time that they get out in the spring to the time that they start back in the fall. We're really like under the wire right now trying to get people redistricted until September when they go back to school.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So is that it? So people who are picking based upon that, they're in a rush. But in general, when we're watching the ebbs and flows, are the current ebbs and flows similar to what you've seen in the past, or is it like a whole different world out there?
You know, I would say that it's a lot more similar to 2016 through 2019.
Mm-hmm. Like a normal market.
Kind of, even though more normal.
Okay.
I'm not feeling the frenzy for the folks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This like huge push because it's going to not be there. I think that people are seeing the inventory is increasing.
Okay.
We're still in a very much of a seller's market.
Okay.
We're only 1.6% of 1.6 months of inventory when normal is between 5 and 6, but we all saw where it was down to 1.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So be thankful for that half a month of inventory. That really does help.
Right.
So,
and Shelley, I saw an article that said that interest rates, at least mortgage interest rates, were starting to like cool off and go a little bit lower. So mm-hmm. where are you feeling mm-hmm. this? Is that true? Can I trust that article here
no.
in Minnesota? No. Okay. Fair enough.
So they did cool.
Uh-huh.
That's in the rear view mirror.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's just so volatile. That's mm-hmm. really what it comes down to. A lot of people, and we'll talk about this, but a lot of people think that when the feds increase interest rates, that that increased interest rates, and it doesn't.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, when we saw the last 75 BIP increase, our rates went down. And that's okay. when you saw that article,
yes. mm-hmm.
and everybody was all excited
yes,
about
they're
it.
They're like, huzzah!
Yep,
right.
Yep, mm-hmm. yep. And then the unemployment numbers came out, and everybody went, wait a minute, what?
Okay.
And then mm-hmm. the market went wonky again.
And then now this new number came out, and I saw that it said a bunch of jobs got added. So do you think we're going to hit another swing? So that's what it is, that all this, so everything can affect everything.
Everything, yeah. It's okay. like the recession is looming, mm-hmm. but and that's what interest rates want. They want to see some more evidence of that, but low unemployment is not evidentiary of a recession. So
okay.
we're waiting for some
okay.
more indicators.
So you and I talked last quarter, for sure, right here on the show, about the definition of a recession.
Mm-hmm.
According to what has historically been the definition, and that's two quarters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's
two
talk
quarters
about
of
it
negative
again.
GDP, right? Negative
okay.
gross domestic product. So, and we yay, we got that.
But I think it's interesting. And then they're like, yeah, but that was that definition. Here's another definition.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I read that article.
Yeah.
Like, or this.
Yeah. Right,
it could
right.
be this,
but
too.
But it's always been what we talked about
right.
like last, you know, quarter.
Exactly.
Now it's somehow a different looking animal.
Exactly.
Whatever.
We got to interject whatever else
yeah.
we can
okay,
in there.
So
exactly.
I get it. Because, I mean, I understand why people don't want. I mean, because that when you hear the word recession, even though we talk about this on the Health and Wealth Show, that it's also, you know, there it's not always as gloom and doom for everybody. It's something that's part of the life cycle of our economic system.
That's right.
And it's just preparing yourself. So same thing. Just because we start going towards that, there are still things that you can do when you work with quality mortgage advisors, quality realtors to still get where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes planning.
Exactly.
And talking through all of these
no
things.
No surprises.
Right.
We talk about all the if this, then that, if this, then that.
And
yes.
not to date everybody in this room, but we've all been through recession.
Oh, golly, yeah.
You quit talking about that.
I know, we hate to admit that.
No.
But, we, you know, I was around, you know, kind of thing. I wasn't doing mm-hmm. this particular job, but I was pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And so both of you have done your profession through a recession, so mm-hmm. you know that it is survivable.
Mm-hmm. Listen, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what. I don't know anything that was more painful than mm-hmm. the recession that we had in 2007.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I was brand new to real estate at that point, but I tell you what, short sales, they are difficult
mm-hmm.
and emotionally absolutely just
I, as
unreal.
Someone who did have to short sell her home in 2009, mm-hmm. I ended up doing mine,
mm-hmm.
And just even the decision to do it, because I'm like, well, everybody mm-hmm. else is doing it right now, go ahead and do it,
yeah.
is kind of what it was, because we were a brand, you know, I was newly married, just had a baby, just, you know, we had found another house that we could move into that we were basically able to buy for cash, and it just didn't make sense to keep this other property, because we were like, well, maybe we'll rent it or we'll this. And we just didn't have the bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
So the option was, you know, let's just sell it and see what we can get for it and just not to have to deal with it. And it was a lot of thought at the time.
So that brings up a really good point. I think that we're having a lot of people have conversations with others, and they're having conversations with us about, is the market going to crash
right.
like it did before? Mm-hmm. That fear that,
yes.
oh, no.
It was terrible.
It.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I wasn't even behind on any payments. And to still go, wow, I did everything in air quotes right,
right.
and made all my payments, and my house isn't worth what I paid for it. That's
okay.
rough.
So mm-hmm. here is why that the experts that we're reading are saying that we are not in a crash.
Okay.
Okay. The first thing is that we've got equity like none other.
Mm-hmm.
Folks have been not tapping their equity like they used to, and they learned a little bit about what that folks did wrong or could have done better, that
okay.
kind of thing. Houses are still appreciating. That's another point. And the third point is the fact that there's just not enough inventory out there to support that.
There's, okay.
The demand is still significant.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you seeing that, Shelley?
Absolutely. And you're 100% right on all of those points, Mimi. That's why we're just not going to... If you're waiting on the sidelines for the flood of foreclosures, you're going to have a long way to head
back
of
and you can get things penny on the dollar.
Right.
And
exactly. Okay.
I
mm-hmm.
mean, I do still have fantasies about those $50,000 houses. I'm not going to lie. I wish I would have taken advantage of that a little more.
Those are only available in Monopoly now.
Yeah, right. No Monopoly going on. So what I want folks to know is we're a real estate show and we've got a mortgage expert on mm-hmm. here, but we are still fun people.
Right.
And we want to give away for all of our callers that call in with a mortgage or real estate question today. We're going to draw two State Fair tickets.
Okay. So you call in and you're going to have to give us, you know, just so we know we can get a hold of you. So you have to give us your phone number and your email address. Our producer, Josh, will go ahead and take care of that. We're going to have two State Fair tickets because we're going to be on and popping at the State Fair.
Yeah, that's man. Awesome. And we have summer guides to selling and summer guides to buying a home. These are updated quarterly. These are really good information about statistics, about what's going on, expert quotes, charts and graphs, all kinds of information. Absolutely free for the asking.
Right. So go ahead if you want to go ahead and call in right now. The number is 651-641-1071. That's 651-641-1071 for those State Fair tickets. And we'll draw at the end of the show. And we'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 107.1. All right, everyone. Welcome back here to the Red Hot Real Estate Show on My Talk 107.1. Thank you very much for calling in. We got our producer Josh in there feverishly hitting the phones. But before we get to that, so we know we're going to pick some State Fair ticket winners as well. But we do have a question as well. Is that right, Josh?
We did have a question that dropped off.
Okay, so if you were on the line, go ahead and call us back. That number again is 651-641-1071. That's 651-641. Yes.
So go ahead with the phone number.
Oh, okay. 651-641-1071.
Yes. Are you going to be at the State Fair this year, Ms. Shannon?
Yes, I am going to be at the State Fair. I'm going to be there Monday through Friday. So I'm doing Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, with my other side gig. Oh. So I'm going to think. So you'll be able to see me with the Jason Show friends.
All right. Fun. Okay. Ms. Shelley.
Yes.
You have got the most amazing tool called the cost of waiting analysis. Mm-hmm. And you did that for one of clients. Mm-hmm. And I think the information is amazing. So let's talk a little bit about what you can discover by having Shelley run this great tool for you.
Great. So I was sharing with Mimi that I have run this for probably a dozen clients in the last 30 days. And I've had this tool for a while, and it just really is coming into play now because people are talking about sitting on the sidelines for a little while because they're concerned about the prices of homes and, gosh, maybe I might be able to get a foreclosure and, golly, these interest rates are high and I'm scared and I'm going to sit out.
And, Shelley, it seemed like when we were discussing this before, a couple of years ago, it was for the people that are going, well, I'm going to wait and see if, you know, I'm going to get this down payment. I'm going to do this because of interest. And so they were chasing a number.
Yeah.
And you're going, no. If you do it now, you can't save fast enough to X or those kind of things.
Exactly,
so
right.
There still is appropriate for people to go ahead and use this tool that
yes,
you have.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you, those of us in real estate, we think when people say, well, I'm just going to wait for a while, the first question in our mind is, oh, golly, what is that going to cost you?
Right.
We know prices are going up and we know interest rates are moving all the time and costs of buying homes are moving all the time. And so waiting does have a number. There is a tangible cost. How much more is the house? Am I going to have to bid on the house? Are we going to still be in a bidding war? Where in the whole spectrum of the buying am I? So I have this tool. I subscribe to this group, the MBS Highway Group, and they do all kinds of financial analysis tools. And this tool is called the cost of waiting. So if you're interested in this, if you're thinking about waiting, this would be a great thing for you to reach out to us to obtain this report that's specific to you. We put in there the property that you're looking to buy, how much we think that property then is going to increase in the next 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, what's going to happen to the cost of what you're doing. So it analyzes all of that, all on a 30-year basis, all on, you know, mortgage rates where they are today and figuring that they're going to be there tomorrow. Like they're going to be in that range tomorrow because we really don't know for certain what's going to happen, although I think they're going to go down. But we really don't know for certain. So we take this data based off of what we have today, not what we're speculating the rates are going to be tomorrow. And in this particular gentleman's case, he was buying something a little bit on the lower end, 200 $250,000. He's looking at putting 5% down payment conventional, not unlike many of our buyers out there today.
Okay.
And when I ran those figures through the tool, it said that that $250,000 home in 6 months is going to be worth at least 3% more. And then in a year, it's going to be worth 5.5% more. And in 2 years, it's going to be worth 8.75% more. And in 3 years, it's going to be worth over 10% more, 12.5% more.
So are you going to have that much more money in your bank account?
And, are you going to afford that payment?
So let's literally talk about that. Let's break that down. So year, first 6 months, $250,000. And after year three, the house is worth 281 and some change.
Right.
Okay. So 3 years, that's a $30,000 increase in 3 years.
Yeah.
So the average consumer that's buying in this price range, how much of an increase in their salary or the money that they're earning is typical to see during that 3 year window? A 3% increase a year? Is it going to be more than that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. It's going to be dependent on their industry, but golly, if we're headed into recession, how much of an increase are they going to get?
Right. And here's the big thing. If we're heading into a recession, that's the key point. If you qualify today because you got a job and you get laid off, okay, you're still going to have to live someplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it better for you to go ahead and get your house now? A house is a tangible asset that you can use to generate income. You can also offset it with growing your own food. You can offset it with getting roommates, maybe bringing family members in to live with you and cohabitate.
Right.
There's lots of options when it's yours. When it's not yours, you don't have those same options.
Right.
Ms. Shannon, let's talk about that a little bit from the perspective of a landlord, right? You don't want your tenants to be out there mowing up your backyard to planting this, that, and the other thing, right?
No, I was very controlling, but I also live here. But I'm like, I got this. Yes. I got this. This is what I'm doing.
Right.
And it is a matter of, like, you might have a super cool landlord that says, yeah, treat it like it's yours. But that's, you know, we are few and far between.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so these are why home ownership in a kind of a tumultuous time, still, in my opinion, a great, great thing to do.
Right. 100%.
And historically, throughout the whole history of the world, people have always strived to have home ownership. It's just different when it's yours.
Can I just tell you, I mean, from my personal situation, I told both of you, I'm like, my kid's in a complicated teenage years. That means we get some holes in the wall and some stuff going on. And so I'm in the process of reinforcing one of his bedroom walls and putting up some acoustic tiles, you know, which I couldn't do if I didn't own this house.
Right.
Like, I'm like, okay, that's a weird modification that will make sense for the house that I plan on living in for quite some time. But I'm like, I'm putting up these acoustic tiles because I don't need to hear you. You're too loud.
Right. And so, let's talk about the cost of waiting, the actual outlay of money from 6 months to 3 years.
Right.
It went from $9,000 needing to what?
Right. Up to $14,000.
Wow. Yeah.
$41,000.
And can we real quick, our caller is back on the line, so we'd love to go to the phone. The number again is 651-641-1071. That's 651-641-1071. Cindy, thank you for calling the show. What's your question for our good friends Mimi and Shelley? Hi, Cindy, your turn. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is a little off topic, but we are selling our home and we're doing an FSBO. What do you think of that?
FSBO, for sale by owner. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Cindy, I think that we talked about this actually last week a little bit. I say that there is a certain percent of the population that can do that amazingly. But as someone who once thought that I could do that by myself before I was licensed, I think that there's a lot of risk that is involved for doing things wrong with the paperwork that could cost you down the road. There's also things about safety and security with having people come in your house that you have not had pre-screened. Those kinds of things are concerns right off the top of my head. But certainly there are plenty of people who do it. If you need to talk about that a little bit more off the air, I'm happy to talk with you about some of those things.
Yep. And as far as a lender is concerned, you'd be shocked and amazed to know how much you're going to be tapped by the lender to do things, or get the appraiser in there. And what does that mean? And the inspector. And, you know, did you price it right in the first place? And houses are sitting on the market longer today. So myself, I think you need a professional in there. We've done transactions with for sale by owners. And honestly, when houses were flying off the market, that was kind of, it was okay then or whatever. We'd accommodate that. But boy, it's a difficult train right now. So
and Cindy, as the person who is just friends with the people in the industry, why are you deciding to do that yourself?
I guess a lot of reasons. I've lived in the house since 2005. Mm-hmm. The only reason we're selling is because my son moved out of state with my one-year-old and three-year-old grandchildren, and I want to go be with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that takes extra money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can I just tell you something?
A buyer's agent. We just thought, I know this house better than anybody. I did all the work. I have all the skin in the game, as they say. And we're really trying to save money. Mm-hmm. And that's the basic of it.
Right.
We did a lot of research and we got it on the MLS. I staged it, took photos. The photos are beautiful. I had a real estate agent in here and a stager who said, yep, this is beautiful. It's ready to go. And then it seems like we got blackballed by agents. They won't show it.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to go to break. I would love to explore this with you more. So go ahead and hold on for us, Cindy. We'll be right back. Is that okay?
Yeah. Great. All right. Thank you.
For anybody else, you can call us at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 1071. Also available on our website, mytalk1071.com, keyword Red Hot. So, Cindy, we're going to pick you back up on the call, and I want to make, we were kind of workshopping part of Cindy's scenario with our good friend Shelly Ferris from Caliber Home Loans, and also my good friend over here, Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group. So, Cindy, thank you for calling because you are our first for sale by owner person that's called into the show in quite some time. And that's why I asked you why you elected to do it yourself. So thank you very much for sharing all that information. And we're sorry that you're having a difficult time because it sounds like you have the right motivation. You want to go and be able to hang out with your family and they're moving. And that's a completely valid reason to sell your home. So just to sum up, Cindy, it seems like you said you did a lot of the work. You did a lot of the homework and the research to educate yourself on this, and part of the reason, if I'm saying this correctly, part of the reason you decided to do for sale by owner was to save yourself some money and try and maximize what you got off of your home. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, Cindy. So the National Association of Realtors. I just want to start off by saying that they have done a lot of studies on for sale by owners throughout the years, and what they have shown historically is that for sale by owners will actually make more money when they do list with a realtor. And there's lots of reasons for that. The number one thing that comes to my mind is pricing it right in the market that you happen to be in. Because if you price your house today like it was when the market was at its top in January, it's a different market right now. Even those of us who do pricing on a regular basis are struggling to find the right number, because you're looking at historical data in the past when you have to also consider what's happening current in the market. That's the number one thing. And exposure and the network of realtors. I'm sorry to hear that you feel like you might be being blackballed, but I don't know without talking to you further.
Because it might not be blackballed. I mean, from what I, just from hosting the show and the way that they talk, it may not be blackballed. It may not be networked in. Because we've talked before, like, that sometimes there's things where, because of the people that are in the industry all the time, they're able to give maximum exposure to a property because it's already within their network. Like, there may be sometimes that a person might already have a buyer in their back pocket because they know they've been looking for something. So maybe that goes quicker too.
Yeah. And then the other thing, Cindy, just that pops into my mind is the value of the systems mm-hmm. that a licensed realtor has. We have all sorts of secure systems with electronic lock boxes that records the data of the people that enter into the property for security reasons. We also have a online booking system that is sophisticated that can actually show data about agents that are showing homes in that particular area. It also shows, pricing brackets, the number of people who are having success in, let's just say, up to 250, 250 to 3 to 4, those kinds of things. So sophisticated pricing tools that help. And, it could be a problem with getting access to the house and not being able to get in to see the property when it's convenient for the buyer. A lot of times when you put together a tour, you're moving about every 15 minutes in a very systematic way, going from point A to point D. And you're doing it ever so often so that if you can't get in to see it when you need to see it, then that could also be a challenge too. But I'm not telling you that you can't do this by yourself at all. It happens every single day. Mm-hmm. And I think that, if you're doing it right, you will get a buyer. But it's complicated. And that's why people hire. It's not like you can't go online and pull a will, too, and write your own will. I mean, there's lots of things that we can do. It's just a matter of whether it makes your life easier or not.
Right. And I appreciate all of the homework that you said that you've done, Cindy. I get that. And the only other thing that I would say is part of the reason, and I had a pretty, it was complicated on my side from a mortgage, getting my mortgage done, but I was buying my current home from somebody I knew, and we still hired a realtor. I still worked with Mimi to do all this because it was kind of more of a, am I costing myself money that I could make what I'm already expert in? And by doing this myself, am I costing myself money? And that's the only other question I would maybe have you ask yourself is that, if what you want to do is go hang out with your family and do these other things, is it worth it for you to spend the money with a licensed professional and then you can do other things? Maybe. So I do think sometimes we try to DIY stuff ourselves and it's just not the best use of our skill set. That's all I'm saying.
And I have bought two homes mm-hmm. without a realtor. Mm-hmm. I haven't sold a home without a realtor. So there is that piece of it. But can you speak to, do you think real estate agents will blackball you for doing a for sale by owner? And I will tell you that I talked to a real estate agent yesterday who is from our family who said if I pull up 9 homes for my buyer to look at and one's a for sale by owner or by a cut rate broker, they won't show it.
I don't agree with that. And ethically, I don't think that a licensed realtor, we have ethics that we have to adhere to in the real estate profession. And, we have training very often on ethics. I don't believe that that's true. And, but anything is possible in the world. Mm-hmm. But that is just not my opinion.
I thought it was pretty cruddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's true, it certainly is.
He got angry with me for trying to for sale by owner.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Well, that is unfortunate.
Right.
But you know what? You always, in every profession, there are different levels of professionalism.
And territorial people, right.
Mm-hmm. And so there's no reason for somebody to get angry with you. I applaud you for giving it a go.
Right.
And if, like I said at the very beginning when you called, there are plenty of people who do it and do mm-hmm. it successfully. It's just not easy.
Right.
Is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk a little bit about this a little bit more offline, we'd be happy to have a more in-depth discussion with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Cindy.
Yeah. So feel free to leave your information with Josh and we'll follow up with you.
Okay. He's got it already.
All right. Good luck, Cindy. Sorry you're going through all that. Yeah, you're welcome. It's a complicated scenario for so many people. And it sounds like Cindy did, everything that she could. And it might be, I don't want to say she's done everything that she could. She really has done the research to try and do this well, is what I'll say. And it's just another example of how complicated this is. And even though she's done all that work, it's still making it very difficult for
her. Let me just tell you my opinion about this, okay? Mm-hmm. I've been licensed now for almost 18 years. Mm-hmm. I would still not sell my own house as a licensed agent. I would hire somebody. There's so much that, you know, when you're close to the situation that you can do wrong.
Yeah.
I've talked to friends who are licensed realtors in other states that have given it a go to sell their own house. Perfectly legal to do.
Yeah.
And I question them. I'm like, why? Why would you do that
to yourself
and not have a backup a set of eyes to look at the situation?
Exactly.
And, you know, and I'm sitting here right now talking on the air. And, you know, you guys look at all the paperwork that we have right here. You know, we've got the number of documents continues to increase.
Right.
The purchase agreement is just the beginning.
Right.
You know, all the supplements, all the things that you need to think about that goes into making sure that it's right for your client. You don't want to miss a thing,
right?
Because there's consequences when you have a bad purchase agreement.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about that, Shelley. You know, you're a mortgage person, so mm-hmm. we have different vantage points. But when you see thousands of purchase agreements, mm-hmm. thousands,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a degree of professionalism mm-hmm. that comes across your desk, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. We look for certain things in purchase agreements. We know if it's a for sale by owner, we got to do this. We got to check the title a little bit closer. We got to all that stuff that kind of goes, automatic, if you will, when there's real estate agents involved. We have to be much more plugged in. And, to your point, Mimi, I've been doing this. It'll be 30 years in April. I would never, ever, ever, ever. And I've seen thousands of purchase agreements sell my house on my own. I get that I'm going to quote unquote save money because I'm not going to have to pay a listing agent. But, will I really save the money? What, did I not disclose something right? Did I, and 2 years later, they're going to come back to me with a lawsuit because you didn't tell me this was broken. Well, I didn't know I should have to tell you that, or
you know,
your gutters are leaking. I didn't know I was supposed to have to tell you that, you know, I mean, all of that.
So I was thinking about this actually just yesterday. I was thinking, oh my gosh, I've owned my house since 2005. If I had to fill out a disclosure statement right now, I'm like,
where do I start?
Maybe I ought to do that because I don't remember how old my furnace is.
Exactly.
You know, it's little stuff like that. It's like, well, how, you know, little stuff, little bitty stuff.
Yeah. A number of years ago, we were looking to move and we looked at a few houses and then I kept thinking about how many boxes am I going to have to get to pack up all this stuff? And we just gave up and added on to the house and we still live there.
I have a friend that's moving right now. He just sold his house and he's like packing. Like, oh no.
The current Minnesota disclosure statement for sellers is 12 pages long, folks.
Ouch.
12 pages long.
Right. And how do you answer those questions?
And the purchase agreement, which I am just looking at right now, is currently, I wish I knew how long it was when I first started. I can't remember that, but it's 12 pages too.
Mm-hmm.
Plus lots of other supplements and disclosures.
When I got in this, it was 4 pages long. And one time there was multiple offers on this one house. I remember this because one of my agents was making fun of this one agent that brought in his offer and said, okay, this is page 1, this is page 2, this is page 3, this is page 4. What do you think?
We feel like you're missing a lot.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah. You know, but I do appreciate Cindy's call in all sincerity, and I wish her absolute success.
Right.
100%.
Right.
Because, you know, if you can save money, I'm all about it.
Right. Especially if you're collecting so you can go hang out with your family that's moving.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more before we go into the next break about your cost of waiting analysis form.
Right. So when we were doing these numbers, you know, at the bottom line, as Mimi said, before the call came in, $41,000 in 3 years is where you're going to be at as far as losing out if you wait. And, this, folks, is on a $250,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were in a $400,000 house, hike that up another third. So now you're looking at, $55,000 right in the face that you're going to lose on a $400,000 house because you waited.
And the reason that the money goes up is because the property is increasing in value.
Yes.
So that's going to be a larger percentage of your down payment.
Right.
And what other differences?
The cost of the difference in interest rates. So the interest that you're going to pay more over the course of that or at that loan in 3 years, projected, of course, but no one knows what the future holds. So we have to project it where we're at today. And just the closing costs, all the closing costs that go on. So it's just the whole gamut. Most of it's the equity that you gain. And in that example, they were looking at about 12.5%. And on $400,000, 12.5% is quite a bit higher than it is on a $250,000 house. 12.5% would be about, doing math in my head, it hurts, ouch, about $60,000.
Okay. So when we come back, let's talk about the equity that people can gain in that three-year period.
You can also be part of the show. Call us at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 1071. Also available as a lovely podcast. We sound really good in your earbuds. Go ahead and find us at mytalk1071.com. Keyword Red Hot. Here with our good friend Shelley Ferris from Caliber Home Loans. And of course, the incomparable Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group and Remax Results.
All right, now you're making me blush.
Good. I like it when you need a little color in your cheeks.
I do, don't I? Ain't that the truth? I need to hit the beach. All right. So equity, Miss Shelley.
Equity.
Isn't that just a lovely word?
That's a lovely word indeed, yes.
Better than shrimp. I don't know. Seafood sounds good to me right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Sounds amazing.
Absolutely. See, I'm not alone. Beach, shrimp, it's all there. So that's the beautiful thing about why this market is not going to crash anytime soon. Yes. We all got plenty of money to pull out of our houses because they've been bankrolling us for the last several years.
And can we just quick talk about what equity is? I mean, because I feel like sometimes we talk about terms that people think, I think I know what that is, but I'm not really sure what that is. Or whatever. So equity is you bought the house 3 years ago for $250,000 and now it's worth $300,000. And your mortgage has gone down because you've been paying it every month. And so now your mortgage that you owe is $240,000, but your house is worth $300,000. So your equity position is the difference, the $60,000. I always tell people it's like a bag of money sitting on your couch. You got your house and the bag of money, and that's what you're selling.
And you get to live there too. Yeah. And you get to decorate the sucker.
Yeah, put a hole in the wall if you need.
Perfect. Love real estate.
So equity is the awesomeness because you can use that towards buying your next house.
Yes. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about the foreclosures that are happening in the market. We're just not seeing a ton of them, tell you the truth, yet. There may be some instances where folks had to buy at the super high end and they went up and over by a lot of money. Should those people have to sell? That's where we're probably going to be seeing our foreclosure inventory coming from. And of course, any sort of, life circumstance that happens that could cause financial hardship, such as divorce can cause a financial hardship or a serious medical condition. That's typically, where you see it, not just ordinary folks just deciding they're not going to pay their bills anymore.
Right. Exactly. And in those cases, my gosh, raise your hand. Don't try to go through that yourself. Please call Mimi.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, if you know somebody who's struggling to make their payment or they've gone through these hardships, please do them a favor and call us and let us know how we can help. The worst thing ever is to let it go all the way through foreclosure. You can short sale that, save your credit.
Right.
And then how quickly can folks buy after a short sale versus a foreclosure?
So it depends on what kind of loan we're going to do, conventional FHA, VA. But, as soon as right away, like a month. But if they have some good down payment to put down. But otherwise, 2 years. 2 years. It's super tiny.
That
goes by in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, two years is the conversation we had just because I'm a independent contractor. So that didn't throw me off at all.
Mm-hmm. And the rules have changed even since then. So they've made it more easy to do. So absolutely. Give us a call, please.
Okay. Don't do it by yourself.
No.
There's no reason to sit there in anguish. You know what it was like to sit there in anguish.
Oh, it was a drag. And it was the worst.
Let us sit there in anguish with you. Trust me, I spent plenty of nights worried about folks in the short sale world.
Right. Okay. Well, you let me know because I do have all of our names in this hat. I have this little hat that we're going to do. So we're going to pick our Minnesota State Fair tickets before we wrap up the show as well. So thanks to everybody that called in. We appreciate you being part of the show. So we're going to make sure we do that as well.
Okay. I do want to talk about when you're buying a foreclosure. You are going to see a document called an as-is most of the time. Mm-hmm. Okay. So right there in big bold print on line 3 of the as-is addendum is, In the event the seller has completed and the buyer has received a seller's property disclosure statement, don't use this addendum without first seeking legal advice. Now, you're probably not going to get disclosures from a foreclosure. You might be getting what's called a disclosure alternatives, which basically says that the seller has chosen to not disclose. Most of the time, the reason for that is because they have not lived in that property. For instance, U.S. Bank or another big bank has probably never lived in that house. They just got it back. So they don't really know how old things are.
Right. How was the maintenance? What did you keep up on?
Yes. And so when you sign this document, you actually have a warning on it that says that the addendum will affect the legal rights of the buyer and the seller, and the buyer and the seller are strongly encouraged to obtain legal advice before agreeing to this addendum. Now, I'm just going to tell you, know that that is the fact, but if you happen to be writing a purchase agreement, do you have time to retain your lawyer?
Right.
So be thinking about that.
So before we wrap up the show, we want to make sure we get everybody a chance to get in on this call. The number is 651-641-1071. Jennifer, thanks for calling the Red Hot Real Estate Show. What's your question for Shelley and Mimi?
Hello. My question is, I'm a first-time homeowner. I got approved for an FHA loan. I've bid on a couple houses, and I just get outbid. And I'm just a little disappointed. And I'm just wondering, should I just wait for things to cool off, or is that not even going to happen?
Do you know why you were outbid? Did you get any information from your agent following up?
I did not.
Okay. That's where I would start. I would have your agent to reach out to the listing agent. And sometimes they're given permission to share why. A lot of times, you know, there's a hierarchy of financing. The first is cash. The second is conventional. And I would say the third and fourth are FHA and VA. Mm-hmm. So if that particular seller maybe got a cash offer, that may be why. Maybe if they got a conventional offer, they chose that because those, when the appraisers for those organizations come out, they're more stringent. I would maybe talk with Shelley to get a second opinion on your loan.
Right. Like, why are you FHA? And did they give you reasons like how you can get into a conventional loan instead, or how to improve your credit if it was a credit issue? Those would be the questions.
Yeah, it's a credit issue. I filed for bankruptcy 5 or 6 years ago. And just working on getting my credit score up.
Okay, so 5 or 6 years, real quick, is it Chapter 7? Like you didn't make payments, you just out and out. Okay, conventional loans can be done after 4 years after bankruptcy. So we need to do some credit repair with you. I do that with people all the time. Please give me a call. Or leave your information, I'll give you a shout.
Okay.
There's a difference, I will say, Jennifer, in loan officers. Just like any other profession, there's a difference. And so it never hurts to get a second opinion. And Shelley, do you a fine job?
Absolutely. I agree. And so, Jennifer, we'll get our producer, Josh. We'll get your contact information. And Shelley will follow up with her. Before we wrap up, Shelley and Mimi, we did say that we're going to pick a winner for those Minnesota State Fair tickets.
Oh,
so I went into my magic hat and the winner, and we'll make sure we contact them. Cindy, congratulations to Cindy, our good friend. She is going to get those tickets. We encourage you to always call and be part of the show. So every week, the number stays the same, 651-641-1071. So we're going to wrap up today. We got about a minute. So let's make sure we talk about those guides and make sure we get that contact information out there.
Yeah, for sure. If you have anything that you need to know about real estate, you can always text 651-578-2218. Any subject whatsoever, mortgage or real estate.
Mm-hmm. And my cell phone, 612-839-6918, here to help.
And the podcast, please be sure and listen to that and refer people to listen to our show. If we would love to help your friends and family buy and sell real estate.
Right. And so, I mean, if we just talk about it, there's always a whole list of things that are on your website that they can go ahead. So you're always a great first call, right, Mimi?
Well, you know, we have a lot of things that we can give out that's helpful for folks. For instance, these buyer and seller guides, they're done quarterly. They're updated with really good, solid market data.
And you often have things out there if they need an attorney, if they need to talk about going through a divorce. You are a great first call. So again, that text message number is
651-578-2218. Text or call.
And remind you, you can find us on our website as well, mytalk1071.com, keyword red hot.